All right. So I'm here with Jordan. How do you say your last name, McKinley?
So McKinley is my middle name.
Oh, okay.
My last name is Campbell.
Oh, okay. So I was just looking at your Instagram the other night, and I saw that you have a lot of comedy stuff on there. Your Young Soupman, you have a, you use the hashtag Snacky Robinson. That's very clever. How did that all come about?
So I would say like maybe 2 years ago, I was eating, and one of my friends, like, I was eating and I was like reviewing the food while I was eating, not intentionally, just like mm-hmm. I was telling them how it tasted and stuff like that. And they're like, "Oh, you should do a review." I was like, "I don't really want to. It's not my
right.
Not my cup of tea." But yeah, like I was like, "Sure, why not? I guess I'll give it a try." And then, you know, I don't do it like regularly. Like it's almost if I feel like it.
Right.
It's like if I come across some food that I know people would be interested in, like I'll review it. But I wouldn't say I'm like a food reviewer or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool that you were just able to do that. Like, I just thought it was really funny, and the name is so clever with the Snacky Robinson thing. How did you, when did you start doing stand-up?
So I started in 2019.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so, when I was in college, which was, like, way before that, like, 2010, 2011, I took an acting class, mainly because they said it was easy at.
Oh, yes, it is. I took an acting... That was my last class that I took in community college, and it was like, the first time I ever got an A in a class. I always got, like, Cs, even though, like, you know, it was just a thing that happened, and it was just, like... I didn't even do well on, like, the final thing we were supposed to do, but I think the only reason that I did well was because I was the only one who did, like, we had one writing assignment, and I was the only student who did the writing assignment, because everyone else was like, "We're actors, we don't do that."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
but, yeah, so I was in the class, and I think we had to do something where you just sat in the chair for, I don't know, a couple minutes, and I, like, brushed some dirt off my shoe, and they just started clapping. I was very confused. And then my teacher, he was like, "Yo, you should really look into stand-up." I was like, "Okay." I did not. Like, I didn't for, like, 8 or 9 years. And then I'm in a fantasy football league, mm-hmm. and the person who comes in last place, like, they have to do a punishment.
Oh, right.
So I didn't even come in last place, but we went to the Stress Factory for their open mic night, and the person that came in last place went up, and I was like, "Okay, like, I know I can do better than him." So I just came back the next week, and then, yeah, I've been doing comedy since then.
That's awesome. So, like, you just sort of... That's really great. It's always cool to hear the story of, like, when people just get into it, because, like, I've seen that before with a lot of people with fantasy sports and even real sports, of, like, they'll do a punishment where... person has to do stand-up, and they either do it, like, once, like, a one-off, or, like, very rarely do people like you, like, keep doing it. And,
yeah,
you know, stand-up is such an interesting thing, because, like, once you get into it, it's very enticing to do, especially if you have, like, a performer, like, background or interest in it. Were you, did you do any type of acting or any type of, like, performing in school before the acting class?
So in high school, I think I auditioned for a play, but I didn't get it. And then, because I'm, like, you've seen me, I'm somewhat tall and big.
Right.
They just put me on the crew, so I could, like, lift up all the heavy stuff.
Well, that makes sense that they would do that.
Yeah, move the furniture.
Right.
Okay. But, yeah, no, I didn't, I think maybe... Growing up, I took, like, one acting class, like, a summer acting course. Mm-hmm. But besides that, yeah, I have, like, no real training in acting, so...
Right. Yeah. So, who were your influences, like, comedians that you liked growing up, and also people that, influenced you to try stand-up, at least?
Yeah, so, I would say the original Kings of Comedy, like, that was probably the first stand-up special that I saw.
Oh, yeah.
As a child, and I'm, like, you know, enamored with Bernie Mac, D.L. Hughley, Cedric the Entertainer, you know, Steve Harvey.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah, so that was, like, my, like, the first time I sat down and watched a special. And then, you know, since then, you know, I've gone on to watch, like, older specials, like Richard Pryor. Eddie Murphy.
Love Richard Pryor. Just such a great, he was so great. Yeah, it's always interesting, like, when you get right into it and you find all the people that you like and who you can sort of, you know, craft your style after and things that you do. Like, so what area did you start doing stand-up in?
So I did at the Stress Factory, like the open mic. Yeah. The Stress Factory open mic they used to have.
Yeah. I did it a couple times.
Yeah. I did it, like, two times, and then I had a showcase, and I was on that. And then I did, like, one or two more, and then they had another showcase, and I was on that. And then, like, the pandemic happened, so.
Oh, yeah. That was a tough time. Was that, like, kind of debilitating to what you wanted to do, or were you able to, like, be one of the people that was going out when there were, like, stuff, when we weren't really supposed to be going out?
No, like, I think I was just so concerned with, like, what the other sides of COVID looked like, I didn't even think about stand-up. And then 2021, I think Devin Hall, he had a backyard mic in Brunswick, yeah. And that was the first one I had done since February 2020. So I was almost, like, that was a year and 2 months.
Yeah, Devin is fantastic. He's awesome.
Great comic.
Great guy. And, you know, it's always interesting to me, you know, the people that you sort of fall in with. Do you have comedian friends that, like, you would consider, like, not like a clique, but, like, a circle of people or a few people that you are close with?
I'd say, Josh Tinley, Alex Maya.
Oh, yeah, those guys are fucking great.
Andre T. Mitchell.
Oh, Andre is so great, too.
Yeah. His pen game is amazing.
Oh, yeah. He's just...
Ricky.
Ricky's awesome, yeah.
Reggie Parker.
The OG, yeah, Reggie. Love Reggie.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, I would say when I see them, like, you know, we chat up, like, we're pretty cordial.
Right. It's really cool, like, that all the black comedians really get along super well, and there's really a camaraderie there that I really think is awesome. And I think it's, like, when I started coming to New Brunswick, like, for the George Street Co-op, like, it used to just be, like, predominantly, like, black comics, which was awesome. And it was just, like, it feels kind of bad now to me how, like, we've kind of done... It feels like we've gentrified it, that place.
I
was like, this used to be, you know. It's just weird how comedy can be that way, you know, and we go through so many different mics and stuff. Do you do Alan Witch a lot?
Yeah, I think because it's every other Monday now, like, I'll do it. I don't do it as frequently as I'll do it. There's a mic in, what is it, Hackensack? Rash Hernandez runs it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they usually have, like, a crowd. So if I'm, like, able to, I'll usually try to do that one.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's always great. You know, it's two things. I mean to go back to Alan, which I haven't been there in, like, 8 months. It's so weird because, like, it ebbs and flows with that place. And with any mic, really. There are some, like, periods where it's really, really good, and it's a really good hang, and then sometimes it's just, like, there's no people, and there's nothing, and it's, like, really tough, so, you know, and that's not anyone's fault, it just happens, like, you know, I think it's around, like, it depends on, like, the school time, because it's near Rutgers, like, if you'll get any people,
right?
But audiences are tough now to really get in comedy, like, it's kind of funny, I always feel weird when I talk to, like, newer comedians that started, like, after the pandemic, of, like, no, we used to have audience members, we used to ambush people, and then it'd be like, you have to do your jokes in front of a family, and it's like, you know, it's always cool to get a crowd as a comedian. Do you, Do you like, or do you like performing in front of certain comics? Like, to me, I like performing in front of my friends and people that I look up to. And that sort of helps me, like, figure out what is good with my stuff.
Yeah.
I always love to do that. You know, if I, I look up to certain people, so it's just like, you know what, if I can make them laugh, it's just, like, great.
Right, yeah, you definitely want the approval of your peers, for sure.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's a mixture of wanting to perform in front of, like, comics that, you know, I would say that, like, we get along well. Like, I know that they'll understand my jokes.
Right.
But then also, you want to be able to perform in front of people because, you know, like, the ultimate goal is to, like, have performances.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, like, you need that laughter from people that you don't know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You need to know these jokes land with strangers.
Oh, yeah. And it's such a cool feeling just to have that, like... Like, I feel like I became really funny when I was, like, a teenager, because I got picked on a lot, so, like, once I started to get, like, more of a sharper, like, tongue, I always tell this, like, kind of, not story, but, like, I used to make my teachers laugh with my comebacks to people, so, like, I would never get in trouble, even though I should, for the stuff I was saying, but it's just, like, I feel like with comedy, it's just that great, like, thing. There's just, you can use it as a defense mechanism, you can use it to, like, escalate or de-escalate a situation. When did you really feel like you were funny?
I think I've been funny most of my life. I think when I was younger, it was like more performative, being funny, like, you know, doing antics and stuff like that, like impressions.
Right.
And then when I got older, it was like trying to find the funny moments in regular everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, you know, life isn't, you know, there it is when life isn't great. Like, you know, life, a lot of shit's going on. So, you know, you just try to, like, find areas where you can improve on it. And that, for me, is, you know, trying to find the laugh in some things.
Right. Is your family funny? Like, your parents and...
Yeah, like dad, he's pretty funny. He's from North Carolina, so he has a Southern drawl. And then he'll have, like, anecdotes that relate to Southern culture, like, talking about mules and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. That's really, like, that's always cool to have that sort of in your family of people that kind of understand, like, humor and like that, and it's a great place to grow up in. Does your family, like, are they encouraging of you doing stand-up? Do they listen to it at all or watch you at all?
Yeah, if I have, like a show, like, an actual show, I'll usually tell them, depending on where it is. Like, I did the City Winery in New York, on April Fool's, and I had like 10 or 12 family members come up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That can be a lot of pressure. Do you feel like you did pretty well there?
I did okay. I think I rushed a little bit because originally I was supposed to do 5 minutes, and then one comics was running late, but they told me, like, while I was performing, like, they were like, yo, go, keep going. And, like, I only had...
Right.
5 minutes.
I've had so many.
Okay.
I've had a few moments like that. I remember when I was like maybe a year in, I got added to this guy, Francisco Palladino. He's like a good comic, but he did more like one man show type of things, and he had a manager, so like it was just interesting. Like, he would do these shows, and they gave me 15 minutes, and I did not have 15 minutes. So my set went very weird, but I was just like, yeah, I can do 15 minutes. That's completely
lie. Like, as a comic, if someone's like, I'm offering you this much time, like, yeah, I'm going to take it. Like,
yeah.
No, even if you don't have that much time.
Yeah, because you're just going to, that's the way that you learn, you know, you thrust yourself into these different, you know, situations. It's like, you got to go to hard mics, you got to go to hard shows, because that's the only way you're going to really improve with what you're doing. And like, from what I know from a lot of, like, black comedy crowds, is it's very tough to make people laugh. There's a high standard there. Do you feel that?
Yeah, for sure. I think, it's like, there's a difference between, like, black laughter and then everyone else's brand of humor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, like, for, just from what I've heard from other comedians and then what I've observed, for black audiences, like, you have to be, like, upbeat, not necessarily animated, but, like, you need to, like, like my style, I have to like punch it up a little bit when I'm performing in front of a majority black crowd. It's like they want to laugh. Like obviously they're there to laugh, but like you have to work a little bit harder for it.
Oh yeah. From what I know is they just love, like, authenticity is a great thing. And if you're comfortable, like, that's a big thing. Because, and I think that's with any audience, really, is if you show that you're comfortable, no matter what sort of, like, to me, I always hate that I'm very, like, I'm not shy at all, but I just have very bad anxiety. So that's something I've always dealt with, is just, like, I have to sort of explain at first, like, no, I'm not, like, scared or anything. It's just tough to sort of, but once, I feel like, once people hear, like, 15 seconds of me, like, doing comedy, they sort of get it, and they like it, and it's, like, it can be really tough, though, when you're starting out. Did you feel like you had the pattern of, like, how to write a joke right away, or did it take some time?
Honestly, I don't even know if I have it figured out right now.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah, when I first started, it was just stories. Like, I had a couple stories. And then, like, as time went along, like, I had premises, like, things that I was like, these are things that bother me or things that I've noticed.
Right.
Like, I'm trying to get to the point where I write regularly just so it becomes muscle memory. Because, like, oftentimes I'll have, like, two or three premises and I'll just go on stage and see what works. But
yeah, it's always so tough to, when you start out.
They're setting aside time to, you know, write every day. So I'm just trying to get into that habit.
Oh, that's a great thing to do. I'm so terrible with writing every day. I'm just like, to me, I'm the main, like, thing that I always get from my stuff is I have really bad insomnia. So I just really, like, come up with these weird jokes. And I'm like, now I have to explain this to normal functioning people.
Yeah.
Just make sure that it works, because my stuff is very, like, I don't like to do observational stuff. I like listening to that type of comedy. Like, I love, like, Seinfeld and people like that, and anyone who can do it really well, but it just, it's so hard for me. And then the other thing I don't like to do, and I don't know if you do this, is a lot of topical news I don't really touch, because I'm like, if it's done by late night hosts, I don't want to do it.
I'll do that at Mike. If I have a show, I won't.
Right. You're just starting to talk about what's in the news and what's going on. And
yeah, if I know I can come up with something funny, like I think it's funny, then I'll try it. But like, I'm not going to just do topical because it's relevant that day.
Right. And that stuff.
Sometimes you'll have audiences that don't even listen to the news or like have no idea what you're talking about. So you're like grasping at straws.
Right. And, yeah, and I mean, I've seen this a lot with, do you feel like being a bigger person has, like, how has that affected you, sort of, with your stage presence and how people sort of react to you? I know that can be sort of a hurdle for people that are bigger
in size. Yeah, so, I consciously don't make any jokes, like, I make very few jokes about my size, like, I think, you know, I don't knock other comedians for doing it. If that's, you know, if that's your brand of humor, that's fine.
Right.
But I always viewed it as, you know, there's a chance that I won't be big at some point. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't want people to recognize me only for having jokes about being big. Because I'm skinny now, I can't make big jokes.
Right. Yeah, at least you take that standard, because some people just, you know, they just do that. And at least you, it feels like you have sort of a set, like, thing that you want to do. Is there, have you had any recent shows?
I did, so I think Reggie Parker, he had a birthday show, though.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that was probably, like, the last show that I did, and then other than that, it's just been open mics.
Yeah, it can be tough to, you know, get consistent shows, and just, like, there's so many great people, and comedy is so, like, oversaturated now with so many people who do it. So it's just a really, like, challenging thing. But, I mean, I just saw you, I think I first met you at one of Dan's mics. I guess it was one of the ones before he moved. And I was just like, whenever I see someone that I like, I'm just like, I gotta get them on a podcast. It's like, you know.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Your
thanks
stuff is just
the podcast for sure. So I like your brand new humor. Like, I think because I think the fact that you are naturally anxious, I think that like lends well to some of your punchlines.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. That means a lot. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
To me, it's always been that I just can only be myself, and for a lot of, and not to be like dramatic, but like for a lot of my life, I feel like there's two types of people that are weird. There's people like my brother who are like, I'm weird, I don't give a shit what people think about me. And then to me, I'm like, I hate that I have these weird tendencies and I wish I could stop them. And a lot of becoming, like, I don't know how old you are, I'm 29, is like once you get to a certain age, you just sort of stop caring what people think. And you can just be yourself. And I think that also lends to doing stand-up, too, is, you know, it's funny. When you start out, you want everyone to like you. And you want audiences to like you. And then you have certain audiences that suck. Or people that you just realize there are people in the audience that you don't care if they laugh at your stuff or not. Like, you'll be like, oh, I don't care if this Trump supporter doesn't like my comedy. It's like... You just sort of have those things. And also, once you do stand up, it gets more comfortable to do because you're just like that repetition and you're used to it. So it's great to hear that compliment from you because I always have such a mix of like, do you ever feel like you could ever get cocky? Like when you have like good sets, like that can sometimes happen to me. Like, do you ever get like an ego? Do you feel?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
If I know I've killed it, like, I'm coming off stage, like, with a lot of positive energy. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm the shit. Like, I've slapped the big dick on that audience tonight. Like,
right.
Yeah. Very proud of myself.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like you've been on a roll recently with your stuff, or has it been more of a trial and error type of...
I'd say it's been consistent. Like, I think... Just the jokes that I've had recently, I think the audience has responded to well. And then, you know, just trying to build on that, like, build it into, like, a more polished set. That's pretty much what the open mics are for.
Oh, yeah, just for sure.
Trying to get your set, like, your tight five or your 10, 15, like, just whatever you're working on. Just trying to make sure you see what fits here, and, like, where you can take stuff out and add new stuff. So, yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at right now.
Are you... someone who likes to do a lot of longer material, or do you like sort of shorter form jokes?
So if I have a long time, like I'm doing stories, like if mm-hmm. I have like over 10 minutes, like you're going to get at least two stories. If I have 5 minutes, I mean, I'll try to fit like one in there and then just, you know, like a couple like observations or just one liners or something. But
yeah,
I lean more towards like storytelling because I think I just... have a knack for it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, and I am so envious of comedians that can do that, because that's the one style that I haven't really gotten down yet. And, you know, it really is, you need a gift for it. And it is something that I think you grow up with. You know, you have these experiences, and then you're able to, you know, sort of put these stories together. Were you, did you do a lot of writing or, like, creative writing in school or anything?
Yeah, that was probably, like, English, that was my favorite.
Me too.
Growing up, you know, just being able to craft a story from scratch, or, like, them giving you a prompt and you just have to come up with something like that. I think that's where, like, I found my creative niche as a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I was always terrible with grammar, so, like, it was such a weird thing, because, like, I was good creatively, like... It was just like, oh, my grammar is terrible. And it's funny, before I did stand-up, I wanted to be a screenwriter, and that didn't go well. But it was just like, it's funny how you find your different... Like, that's what I feel with stand-up. A lot of people, few people do stand-up, like, as, like, their first thing in life that they want to do. It's like, some people just want to be an actor first, or they want to get into, like, television or whatever, and then, like... They just find stand-up and they either do it for a while or do it forever. And it's like...
I know a lot of... I know a lot of comedians right now, and I mean it's not the best time, obviously, because of the writer's strike. But like I know
a lot
of comedians are trying to get into like TV writing, movie writing, and stuff like that. I mean, I would love to do it.
For sure.
Yeah, just navigating it is a bit difficult.
Yeah, it is so tough. I mean, that's the only side of it that I've never really been great at. Is the business side of comedy. I've never really been great at that at all. I've just always been like, and of course, like to me, it's tough being in New Jersey because we have very few actual comedy clubs. So a lot of what we do is very underground and very like, it's punk rock and I like it and I prefer it to how comedy clubs are run and sort of like how they're done, especially anywhere really. But like, that's what I love. And what I've learned to love is, like, you know, that sort of, to learn to love where you are, because being in the Jersey Shore area, it can be kind of restricting, and also you always have those, like, I feel like I go back and forth between, like, insecurity and then having dreams of grandeur, of like, oh, I should be bigger, I should be doing more, like, yesterday I was trying to get more of my stuff online, and I was just like, why am I so focused on this? Why am I trying to get, like, big on Instagram? It's like,
you know. Yeah, we're in this day and age where immediate returns. Like, you'll see these comedians on social media, and you're, like, they're posting videos, like, every day. Like, stand-up videos. Like,
yeah.
And some of their stuff, you know, like, some of it's funny, and then other parts of it's like, oh, okay, like, they're just putting this out so that they can just keep
right putting
out content. And it's like, do I want to get caught in that where I'm just putting out mediocre stand-up just for the sake of having content online, or like, should I just, like, yeah, you're pretty much on a hamster wheel at that point. Like,
right. I can never do that. I mean, to me, my thing is just like, if I'm going to put something out there, it has to be good. And I always have that safety net too. I feel like mean comments won't ever bother me because when I put out a video, it already has laughter in it from the audience. So it's sort of like a bonus anyway. If I just edit online, it's like, they laughed in the room. So that's really what I care about. But if I can share that. And then the other thing is, you don't know how much you want to expose your material, because you're still like, you're still newer and you still want, like, you don't want people to come see you and then be like, oh, I saw all his jokes online before.
Yeah, right, because now they're just showing up looking at the same, like, they're not really laughing.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at the same material that they've already seen online.
Like, you can do that if you're bigger, but, like, it's tough. So there's always that writing process of just trying to keep on doing it and keep on coming up with stuff. And I always feel like it's just putting yourself in, not, like, I always feel like you have to live your life a little bit. Like, you have to, like, you can go and do comedy, like, you know, like, I just did it, like, 4 times this week, which is great, like, for me, that I never really get to do. But it's, like, living is a big part of comedy, too, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny, I was watching the first episode of Seinfeld, because I never saw the pilot before, and it was just, like, the connection I made of, like, yeah, that's what I do. It's, like, I go through life, some things happen to me, I get into weird situations, and then I'm, like, okay, I can, like, mine material from here, and it's such a cool thing. Do you feel like that happens with you a lot? Do you usually, like, do you add stuff from you, like, your day, like, sort of to your stuff that you go through?
Yeah, I think it depends. Like, sometimes it just depends on the day. Like, if something worthwhile happened during the day, like, I'll throw that in my set. But it's no guarantee that I'll keep it. Which is why I think I need to, like, record my sets more, because it's something that, like, is, I guess, topical. Like, it only would fit that day or those couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
I just throw that up online, like, if people thought it was funny, because I probably won't use it again.
Yeah, it took me a long time to be able to be comfortable with recording myself, because, like, I think everyone sort of hates their speaking voice. It's never what you think it sounds like, and you're just like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
I don't know if people know this, but, like, 9 times out of 10, my voice cracks while I'm, or, like, in it's not cracks. What's the term? I don't know the term, but my voice does that most of the time when I'm performing. Mm-hmm. Like, my voice is so low, I guess most people don't notice it.
Right. Yeah. It's just once you have that sort of thing, like mine. And it's always that you just have to be comfortable within what you do and how you are. Because the stand-up to me, like, the sign of a great comedian to me, whenever I think someone is good, is that they're not just a good observational, like, comedian, but they know themselves deeply. Like, one of the great things about Caprio is, like, for as, like, eccentric as a guy he is, he's very, like, he's self-aware. Very self-aware. So, like, that helps. It's like, you know, and it's the same thing that I always try to do is, like, if you know yourself and you can come up with these, you know, things to talk about and address, it, like, it disarms people.
Yeah.
It's like, I
applaud Caprio for sure. Like, he's very comfortable in his own skin. Like, he knows his writing style. Like, he knows what works for him and what doesn't. Like, yeah, I have a lot of respect for him for that.
Oh, yeah. And it's so funny, me and him, like, when I first met him, like, we were close friends right away. And it's so funny because, like, he roasted me a whole lot. And, like, I roast him back. I tried to. I'm not as great as a, like, roast writer as he is. And it's just funny because a lot of people thought that, like, we didn't get along from how, like, he made fun of me and stuff. And I was like, no, we talk every day. We're close. It was sort of like, it was sort of like pro wrestling. Like, we were just like, no, we're close. It just is a thing that you go through. Do you have any comedians that you sort of, like, travel with or that you go to mics with and stuff?
So, for a little bit, I had two friends that were, one friend, he was doing comedy at, was a Comedy Cove.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, we had known each other growing up, and then we realized, like, oh, wow, we both do comedy. So, there was, like, a couple-week period where we would go to shows together, and then I had another friend that was trying to get into comedy. I mean, he's in it now. So, yeah, he was going to... You remember when Josh and Alex had that open mic? And,
oh, yeah. Lemongrass?
Yeah. So, like, I took him there a couple times. But besides that, yeah, I generally just... I mean, I'll ask people if they're going to mics, like, that day. Mm-hmm. Just see if they're going to be there. I'll go anyway, but, you know, just see if, like, I know somebody that's going to be there.
That's one thing that I've always had, like, with a particular, like, feeling is a lot of people talk about, like, how you need to network in comedy, and that is important, but to me, I've always felt like I just want to do just cool shit with cool people and just be, like, if I can find the people that I mesh well with, like, it just is better, and it's always so cool to me. I always think, you know, if you spend time with a few specific comics that you're friends with, you can learn how to do more stuff. There was, the first guy that, cause I don't drive, I never got my license. It's embarrassing. But, the first guy that I traveled with, John Beecroft, he's like a Mitch Hedberg style, like one-liner guy. So, like, I learned how to write that style. And then there was a guy, Eric Harbach, who was in the New Jersey scene a little bit. He's like from around here, but then he moved to Texas and he's lived in many different places doing comedy. But, when I went to see him in Texas for like an perform there for like 3 days, he's very like blue and like dirty, so I learned how to write that, and that's how a lot of my current stuff came from. And then VJ, who I live with, he's very dark sense of humor, but it's
extremely,
but it's not like, it's not lowbrow, it's like very clever writing. So
yeah, no, he's funny for sure.
I always think like it's surprising to me like that he hasn't been like discovered at all. Like, I feel like he's fantastic with,
yeah, his jokes sometimes are like the slow burns. Like, he'll make a dark humor joke and you don't laugh right away, but maybe like 2 seconds later you're like, oh
yeah, you're like, oh, that is so, yeah. And he just doesn't, like, he's so great with it. And
I like his brand of humor. I think his jokes are pretty good too.
Yeah, he's great. And it's so great to, like, just get along with him and just be, like, it's so weird, like, you know, we live together and it's just, like, 2 years now. It's just crazy. But he's so great, and just, like, his work ethic and everything and writing and everything he does is just, It's really great, and it's great to be around those people. I just really love having that thing to be around people, because comedy is very tough if you don't have that those people around you. I can imagine it can be very lonely for people if they can't really fit in. And I used to talk about this a lot, like, as a subject in my podcast, was, like, how people felt about, like, how they got along socially. Like, not as, like, a dramatic thing or, like, a drama, like, trying to stir up any of that, but, like, did you feel like when you started doing comedy, like, you got along with everyone and you sort of had gotten into the scene pretty well, or was there a tough, any tough social barriers for you?
I think when I first started, I didn't know it was like it was essentially like a hangout thing afterwards.
Yeah.
So like, just tell my jokes, maybe like tell people like, oh yeah, great job, and then just go home.
Right. I was the same way.
And then like as time went along, I realized, you know, like part of it is also networking, because like these people that are at these mics, they're also putting on shows. Like,
right.
You know, if you get to know them better, you know. That's happened like a couple times, like just based on conversations that I've had with some of the comedians. I'm like, hey bro, like you want to come do this show, like let me know, like I definitely would love to have you.
Right.
And so yeah, part of it is like building those relationships, and that's just, you know, that's with going to the mics. So you just have to get to know these people and, you know, build a rapport.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's really one of the most important things, I think. Like, it's good to be, you know, it's necessary to be funny and be a good comedian, but it's even better to be a good person to hang out with and be around and just be like, you know, it's tough. It can be tough, but like you gotta be sort of more mature and, you know, really be able to handle yourself in some situations, because it can be tough. Like, comedians, we're just very weird people, so yeah, so it's like once you can find your way to like fit in, that was always a big thing for me. Like, because I started when I was like 21, 22 ish, and I was the oldest growing up because I was held back a year in kindergarten. So, like, I was older than all my peers growing up, and then doing stand up, I was the youngest in my area. So, like, people were like 3-4 years older than me, and now it's different. Like, it's better now because I'm older, so like I've caught up kind of. In the age, it's like, but when you're, like, it's so weird, like, you don't really think about it, like, when you're how far different in age 23 and 20, like, 22 and 25 is, like, in terms of life and, like, how much things of differences you can have. And
yeah, sometimes I notice that it comes out in people's sets, like, you'll have, like, older comics, like...
Yeah.
Steve Schwartz and Bob.
Yeah.
Like, they're obviously old enough to be our parents.
Right.
Some of their jokes, like, lean into the fact that they are older men. Mm-hmm. And then you have, like, younger comics, like, in there, like, Kyle Lucero, like, he's in his early 20s.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, like, you know, just becoming an adult, like, doing adult things.
Right.
So I think your age definitely plays into, like, the brand of jokes that you have, or like the material that you come up with.
Oh yeah. And I always loved that, like, the people that I always looked up to, I sort of brand them as like the man children of comedy. Like, that sort of their styles, like Pete Holmes and John Mulaney. And I feel like a person who really does that pretty well too is Caitlin Kosis. She's great with that. But
she's phenomenal at like giving you her perspective, but like obviously injecting humor into it.
Oh yeah. And it's just always great. We can, you know, it's so cool to have the scene that we have with so many people, because it really feels like there just is something there. Like, it's so cool just to be like, you know, to have this cast of characters. Like, I always wish that there was more the thing that's sort of interesting is we, in my area that I do comedy, we started doing shows and mics with a lot of poets, and they've been doing poetry for 10 years, and they've really carved out a niche, and they recently got a PBS show. Like, they had a documentary a couple months ago, and now they have a show, and I just think, like, that would be cool if that happened with us, because it would just be like, there's so many characters and different people and different comedians that, like, you could really tap into. And we never really see that. Like, you see it parodied in, like, TV shows and, like, movies sometimes. But I think it'd be really cool to have, like, a reality show of, like, comedians at our level, of just to see what it's like. Because I think that's the one thing people don't really realize is the starting out process. They sort of just see the person on late night and they don't really, like, know, like, what they went through.
Yeah, it's, you want to know the origin story and, like, how they got to where they are.
Yeah.
And, like, how they function in the space. I'm thinking you should do something, you should do a duet fest. That's what you should do.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to do something like that. Like, my main thing that I'm, like, my main thing that I've been thinking of doing when I'm a little bit older is since I have such a distinct, like, criticism of how comedy clubs are sort of run, I'd love to have my own and just sort of do it in the way that I think would be more beneficial to comedians, because I just feel like it's very much just, it's very much like dinner theater, like, mostly, like, it just, and it's, like, I'm fine with, like, alcohol and stuff, and, like, I have a main thing, too, like, I don't like really a lot of crowd work. Like, that's a big thing that's, you know, popular now with videos online. And it's such a weird thing to me, because it's, like, it's kind of like we're unintentionally, like, people that do that are unintentionally inspiring hecklers, because people don't want to be hecklers, they just want to be part of the show. They see that it's interactive in a way.
Yeah.
So they sort of get that impression. And some comedians are very good at it. They're very good at crowd work and they're very interactive with their sets. A lot of me, my main criticism of myself really, is I don't pay attention to the audience that much.
Yeah.
I'm just I worked on these jokes for 8 years. I want you to hear me and what I've done. And it can be tough because you gotta be alert of the room and you gotta be aware of how people are and how they digest your stuff, you know.
Yeah, I did a mic on Monday, and I had a joke, and they laughed like before the punchline came. Like, you know how when you're writing a joke, you're like, okay, this is where they're gonna laugh.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you get on stage and they'll laugh at something else, and you're just like, okay, like that, you know, that wasn't the punchline.
Right.
I'll take it. Like,
that's, yeah. That's funny. And the funny thing with being like me and in New Jersey is there, it's very like not mean, but there is a tougher style of like New Jersey and Philly. So there's stuff that I will mention, like it's funny when I mention like being on the autism spectrum, like the word autism will make people laugh. It's like, that's not the punchline.
Yeah.
Like, and the thing that I deal with a lot is just my sense of humor is very self-deprecating. But comedy nowadays is much different with, like, how popular roast battling is and Wild and Out, is comedians kind of don't want to be that anymore. They kind of want to be on top all the time and look super cool and always have the last word. And it's like, to me, my humor has always been, no, I'm going to make fun of myself. But there's that line of, like, you don't want to be sad. You don't want to be, like, pitiful. And I'll have that, like, thing that I have to deal with is, okay, maybe this was too sad for the audience or too negative, because you always got to keep it silly. Like, that's the main thing. Like,
the ultimate goal is to get the laughs.
Yeah, because that's the one reason why I'm a very political person, but I don't do political comedy because I'm not good at finding the super silliness of it. I just want to be correct all the time. Just like, I would love to talk about like stuff like that, but it's just, it's not in my, like, wheelhouse of skills that I can do. The one thing that I just love is that I never took, like, I can kind of get, like, flack for being kind of rude about people who have done, like, comedy classes. Because, like, I did improv, but, like, for most part, it was stand-up. Like, I love that it's kind of a self-made process. You learn to do it on your own. And that's really the cool part. Like, last year when I started to really get into doing, like, callbacks in my act and, like, it was once you could put that stuff together and you find those little skills, you're just like, oh, I can do that now.
Yeah.
Like, putting a set together, do you sort of have a thing where it's kind of interconnected, or is it usually just, like, random stuff, like, not really combined?
I think what I'm trying to do is, like, weave stuff together so that it just flows more naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I have a joke about, let's say, I don't know, like, going to the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
then, like, I would try to come up with something later in my set about, like, cooking or something, like,
just right.
to keep the audience, like, you know, also engaged with, like, on the same page as me so that they know that this is flowing, this is all flowing together. I mean, it doesn't always happen. I was
there, right.
I went on stage and just said random shit. Like, at that mic on Sunday, that woman said that she was a tennis professional, so I'm like, okay,
yeah.
I'm like, this is fucking perfect. Like, this never
yeah.
happened, but let me go ahead and talk about this for a minute.
Yeah, and I thought that interaction was great. It was, she's an interesting person. Yeah,
I like her.
She's very fascinating, yeah. but it's always just cool when you have those people and just the different comments you're around. But I thought that was a great interaction. That can be, you know, that can always be a thing too. Like doing, I don't know, what did I want to say? I had something. Oh, yeah. When you're putting stuff together, like to me, I last year I was like, I didn't even know that I was doing it when I was talking about like I realized like, oh, all these jokes I'm talking about are like the things that I like, that I'm attracted to in women. I didn't notice that that was what I was talking about. But once I realized that, I was like, okay, that's how I can connect everything. And do you feel like you have a lot of stuff where you can like have a lot of directions that you can go in, or is there still, like, to me, that's what I love doing, is just finding those little things of, like, because I'm very guilty of, I don't write as much as I should. I do a lot of my same, like, just now in the past month has really, like, hit my stride of, like, I've never been able to, like, kill consistently. I've always been, you know, I'll have, like, a good set, like, every 3 weeks. And then, like, for the past, like, month or 2 months now, like, almost, I've done pretty well in a way that I never have before. But the only bad thing is, once you get to that moment, whenever you get those moments, you want to fail again. It's very weird. When you're doing well, it feels good, but you're just like, oh, I'm not progressing. I need to go to tougher places. That's why I want to go back to Alienwood, because I feel like I always had to fight for it there a little bit more. And it's just like, you want those challenges. Because it can be very easy to stay in a place where, you know, you go to the same mic or the same mics and they sort of know you there and they like certain things. And it's like, if I have that with a lot of the poetry stuff that surround us, like, it's too easy sometimes. And it's like, I don't mean in like cocky way, but it just is like, you know, you have those moments where you want to push yourself. Do you have any current goals, like, specifically that you are working on now?
Yeah, so I'm, like I said before, just trying to write consistently. That's probably goal number one. I think I want to produce a show, like...
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think there's been, like, a number of comics that have, you know, like, given me an opportunity, whether it be, like, at a show or just doing a guest spot where I want to, you know, pay that forward and just give them another opportunity.
Right.
I would see what it's like to produce a show. Because, you know, like, there's so many talented comedians in New Jersey. Like, I don't, like you said, I don't think we get enough credit for how many people we have in New Jersey that are actually funny.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's usually mostly, like, Philly and New York people get a whole lot of credit. And New Jersey just has this great underground scene that's very punk rock, very cool. And it's just like, we're also interconnected in a way that's nice. It's like, no matter where you are, like South Jersey or North Jersey, it's like, we all get along. It's so funny. You'll meet someone And you'll be like, you'll go on Facebook and you'll be like, oh, we have like 15 mutual friends. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
It's like so cool. You'll be like, oh, that's great. And it's so cool to have those things. I always love when I find out like what comedians know each other and like just all the people that you mentioned that like you sort of get along with, like Reggie and all them. Like, they're just so great. And it's always just cool to have that camaraderie with people and to really be in. Seem like one of the best places is on Sunday at the co-op. It's just like the hang there is really great sometimes, most of the time, and just the way that that it's sort of set up and everything, because it can be so tough with open mics. Like, to me, I try not to be too judgy of it, because I know how open mics are, but like my only standard is there just has to be a working microphone. And that's it.
Number one.
And I can get like, you know, and I always try and not get on my huffers of like, oh, if the mic isn't run well, but it can be hard, because you know it's supposed to be tough. Like, open mics are the way that they are, and they're kind of weird, but it's like, you know, that's one of the things. It's like, you can never bring, you can't really bring your friends to an open mic, I feel. Because there's too much of a thing. Like, the thing I always make reference to is, have you ever seen the movie Dodgeball before?
Yes.
Yeah, you know how, like, when they have the coach come in and he's like, Vince Vaughn, and then he's like, is he weird? And then he's like, no, and then he comes in and he acts all weird, and then he's like, well, he's not weird for us. I feel like how that is with open mics. You could bring a friend to an open mic and they'd be like, that was terrible, and then you'd be like, no, last week was terrible. This was okay. Yeah. So it's different. But so have you had I don't want to try and be too negative, but have you had any instances with hecklers or anything that have stood out to you? Or
I had one. I mean, he just kept talking. I was at Lemongrass.
Uh-huh.
And this guy, he was talking through most people's sets.
Oh,
and
I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
I made the mistake of engaging him.
Yeah.
And then he just kept talking. So then to, like, try to quiet him, I was like, oh, no, bro, why don't you come up here? Like, you should do a couple jokes. And then he walked up, and I was like, get the fuck out of here. You're not doing jokes up here. Like, go sit down.
Right. Yeah. It's tough. Like, to me, I used to, when I did the Ringer shows in New York when I was starting out, like a year in, 2 years in, it was just like a lot of my religious, like atheist material would always do well with like younger crowds, but I would always make people's like grandmothers upset, and I'd be like, I'm being heckled by a 90-year-old. This is not this is not fun. And like, I couldn't, and I was such a coward back then, like I would just like apologize and leave. And now that I've been doing it a long time, the only bad thing is now I'm too mean with my like responses and stuff, so it's like you don't want to lose the audience with what you're gonna say if you go too far and just be like, because that's the weird thing with stand-up is like someone can be good at music and or good at like anything, like a sport, and they can be an asshole and it won't. And you can't take away that ability from them.
Yeah.
With stand-up, it's like so important for people to like you that if you have a bad interaction with someone before you get on stage, they're just not going to like you no matter how much your jokes work.
Yeah.
Because it's just so much of your personality. It's just that. So it can be very tough, you know, with that. I'm like, I always try and keep a good attitude. Because it's just like, if you're just nicer, then you just go out and you're chill, people will be fine. Like, do you feel like your mood affects, like, your set? Do you sort of go with that, like, whatever your mood is on stage, you sort of keep, or do you keep, try and keep it kind of a little more professional, like, oh, I'm not going to let this thing during my day sort of bother me during my set?
It's tough. I mean, like, I've had jobs where they're mentally draining.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I would tell myself at the morning, like, yeah, I'm going to go to stand-up. And then just based on, like, how my day is dictated at work, I might be like, yeah, I don't even feel like it right now. Like, I'm gonna go up there and I'm not gonna enjoy it. Like, my jokes aren't gonna hit because I just don't have that. I don't have that energy to like
right.
get the audience. But I tried to get away from that and just, you know, because comedy is muscle memory. I'm just like,
oh, yeah.
Like, regardless of if I had a bad day or not, like, let me just go and try it and tell these jokes.
And I think the great thing is just to find, like, a good thing for that is just to find sort of your safer spaces that, like, you get along with and you get along with people. Like, you shouldn't go to a mic, you know, that at a place where you don't get along with people if you're having a rough day. Because it's just, like, that's not going to mesh well with whatever you're going through. Because to me, it's always, like, it's, like, 70% social to me. It's, like, you know, if I can get along with everyone and feel like, you know, there's no one there that sort of, you know, ruins anything or, you know, makes it a bad time. Because you just have those instances with people sometimes. It's just like, we have, what's his name? We have that guy that we talked about. And there's another person that I can't remember the name of. But, like, we just sort of have those people that could sort of ruin a mic just not really meaning to.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, but you have to deal with that. And it's super cool just to talk with you about all this. I hope I didn't bore you just talking straight, like, comedy. I love talking about just really getting into it and hearing how you started.
Yeah, this was great. I definitely enjoyed, you know, being able to chop it up with you. We don't get a lot of opportunities to talk during these mics, because, like, half the time when it's over, I'm like, I'll speak to everybody, but then I'm going to go home.
Yeah. It's always great, especially when you, like, I haven't really seen you a whole lot, so it's like, when I get to see a new person, newer to me, I'm just like, oh, well, I totally want to, you know, see where his head is at and what he's been doing, because it's just so cool. And with, like, this podcast, the reason I did it, and it's kind of, you know, you talk about, like, putting on a show. I did one show that I put together, in December 2019. It was right before the pandemic, like, because my main thing, I was very bad at staying at this one mic. And what happened was a lot of people would, like, make jokes about me, like, not in a mean way, not in a mean-spirited way. They would just make jokes about me like my friends did when I wasn't there. And it would annoy, like, I was close to the bartender, but it annoyed him because, like, people wouldn't get it. Like, I'd be gone and people would be doing jokes about me. So I was like, well, I'm going to make an effort to be there the whole entire time and put on this roast of myself so everyone can get those jokes out. And it's a way that they can sort of go through it. So I just did that. And the thing that I did that was kind of like a thing that I really shouldn't have done was I did a showcase thing too before it with the couple comedians that I like, a few comedians that I really liked and like some people that I started with, so I was like, I showcased them. But it can be so tough. Like, I'm terrible at hosting. I wish I could get better at that. Like, I tried hosting a couple of mics. I've just never been great at it because you're familiar with The Office, right?
Yeah,
you know, the thing that, you always say, the Stanley look-alike thing.
I'm a son.
To me, I always feel with hosting and, like, going first at mic, it's always like you're the assistant manager to the host. It's like,
yeah.
You're like, oh, I gotta do that. Like, my main thing that I always have an issue with is, like, if I get on a show, like, they'll give me, like, 10 minutes, and I'll end up doing, like, 8 minutes because I don't want the laughter to stop. Like, I'm very bad with silence. Like, do you feel that way? Or are you able to sort of enjoy those beats of, like, oh, I can be quiet in this moment and it doesn't take away?
No, your silence does not bother me. I think, I don't know if it's supposed to. I have not.
I think that's my issue, is it bothers me too much. I'm just like, I want people to like me so badly. I'm like, laugh, 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 laugh. It's like you can take a breather and let people do that.
You know, I think I'm cognizant of not, you know, like getting too caught up in my head about it being quiet. I'm like, sometimes I'll hold my punchline a little bit longer. Like, I'll say something and then pause and then give you the punchline, and I'm perfectly comfortable in that pause.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so we can, okay, so Courtney, again, we can finish up here. Thank you so much for being on. I'm really glad that you did it. And if you have anything that you ever want me to promote, because I usually do that on, like, the social media of my podcast, and if you ever want to come back on again, you have a show or something that you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. Just, I appreciate you making
this space
for comedians, because, like, you know, a lot of us in New Jersey, we don't get the opportunity to, you know, showcase ourselves as much as, like you said, like Philadelphia comedians or New York comedians. So, like, you're creating a platform for us to be able to, you know, talk about our comedy and just promote ourselves. And I'm very grateful for that.
Oh, yeah. And I've gotten that. I always get, you know, not really self-conscious that I don't have a whole lot of listeners, but, like, the one thing that I've been told is that people do get booked more and get more attention from the podcast, which is what I always want for people, is to put a spotlight on these comedians who are great, and you really get to see the evolution of people. Like, when I have people come back on a couple of times, it's like, you just get to see them over the course of months and years of how their act changes and how they get better as comedians. And I think, you know, it's only going to be a matter of time when you'll feel like it's night and day to how different you are as a comedian, like, better.
Right.
Like, I think you're really on that right track. And I think you're just, I like your stuff a whole lot. So, are you going to be at the Mic on Sunday?
Yeah, I'll probably be there.
All right, cool. Yeah, that's awesome. So, you're social media or Instagram is like Young Soup Man.
It's Jordan McKinley, and then if you message me, like, it comes up as Young Soup Man.
Mm-hmm. And is that just the social media that you're on, or?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook and TikTok. I have a YouTube. I don't really post
anything. Oh, that's right. Yeah, me too. I have.
Yeah, I posted like one thing in the last month or two, mm-hmm. but. It exists, and people want to check it out.
That's great. Yeah, so I hope you have a nice rest of your weekend, and hopefully I'll see you on Sunday.
Yeah, Paul, thanks for having me, for sure. Yeah, we'll definitely see each other on Sunday.
For sure. All right, great. Bye.
All right, take care.
That was awesome.